What does the future of museums look like in a world where technology and youth voices are shaping everything we do? Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of Museum Chill. Next week, museum professionals from across the globe will be gathering for the ICOM General Conference, an exciting moment to reflect on how our sector is evolving. In this episode, we'll be exploring the theme of how digital practices are shaping accessibility in cultural institutions, and I'm delighted to be joined by Emilia Sharples. She's part of the museums and audiences team at ArtFund and former user experience and digital manager at the Lyme Museum. Emilia, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Maybe we can start by asking you, what's been your experience with digital accessibility with museums? And you can tell us a bit of what you've worked on.
Yeah, of course. So my interest in kind of digital improvements in museums and that kind of conversation started when I was still at university studying art history. And I was particularly interested in kind of museum policy and the way in which museums, especially at that point in time, pre-2020, were quite reticent in adapting and evolving maybe in certain ways with technology. And I ended up working with Dr. Angela Steen with the Lyme Museum. And that was a really great experience that kind of brought all of my interests and also kind of bits of experience together, where I helped her kind of rebuild the platform for a museum space called the Lyme Museum, which is a digital platform museum that tries to raise awareness for certain accessibility issues primarily within the heritage and museum sector. And it's a solely digital space. So that was where we could be quite creative with how we kind of made that space our own. There are obviously great uses of having a purely digital platform. There are also some limitations, but focusing on the good side to start with, it provided a really cool platform. And so it's like such an amazing educational part for my kind of progress and career, I think. And Angela was such an amazing mentor for teaching me through that time. So it was a time where I could really work with individuals to better understand what accessibility meant to them, and how digital tools can really help improve different opportunities and different experiences for wider public. And it's something that I have definitely kept with me, and it's still a huge interest and a huge passion of my work, and something that I am continuing to work with and towards.
Since you started at a digital platform museum, is there a point where you were working with this museum that made you question how museums are using technologies? And maybe that's like a pre your work with digital platforms in museums. And then another aspect of it will be the post after working with the Lyme Museum. Did it also kind of pique your mind on how museums can now include technologies and implement digital solutions?
There's a really like interesting crossover between anything in life, and particularly kind of like digital and technology at large, of being kind of like an interesting and really useful addition versus it just kind of taking over a space or becoming the sole focus and it kind of almost overshadowing its need in the first place. And I think that's something that I noticed both before and after my work with the Lyme Museum, is there has to be kind of like a need for it, and it hopefully is answering a question or it's solving a problem. That's where it really is either like a real strength to spaces or a bit of a curse to spaces. That also goes hand in hand with the museum or the venue that we're talking about. I mean, you know, there are much larger institutions that can have huge teams behind them to implement these technologies properly, and then they work properly. But on the flip side, there are much smaller organizations where a website is a strength in and of itself, and maintaining that properly is probably more important than installing digital things into an exhibition space that maybe don't really add much value. There is that fine line, and I think that that's something that I was aware of before and then increasingly became very aware of during and after my work with the Lyme Museum. And the more I kind of delved into different places and how they were hopefully using certain technologies for the better and for improving their accessibility, I think that was where you kind of really saw the divide between what spaces we're using these technologies for. So I think when it comes to implementing maybe new technologies or digital capabilities into these spaces, there's a need for both. And I think also there is a need for people leading this, because things need to be maintained and things need to be kept up to date, this community-driven approach is increasingly becoming very important. And it's exciting to see, especially with younger professionals moving more and more into the sector. There's more of a recognition of that, like I said, across the board, not just with how to make museums more updated with their technological capabilities, but even just the conversations they're having and the conversations they're willing to have and how that affects how they educate and talk with their audiences.
And what do you think the role of young professionals and new generations is when it comes to shaping this future of museums?
Young professionals are bringing a nice new energy to the spaces that they're entering at the moment. And I think that goes hand in hand with new perspectives like digital fluency, a social consciousness and awareness that I think was there before that, but maybe with more vigor and more confidence to bring kind of these conversations across the board and not just kind of see them as like maybe individual separate issues, I think. And I think that's another exciting development we're seeing in the museum spaces, is they're becoming spaces that offer these conversations on a much larger scale. And I think that is in part thanks to different perspectives and younger generations coming through with these renewed kind of feelings of needing to advocate for these changes, different groups of people as well. And I think that's something that's really exciting to see. I wrote an article last year. I was really struck when I was researching for that about how projects like Frameless, they're not just impressive because it's a beautiful screen showing really pretty pictures, but it's really impactful because they're removing barriers. Frameless that I'm talking about is an immersive gallery. It shows variation of different artists' works. And that in itself is such an interesting, different way to view art for a lot of people who maybe view traditional museums as inaccessible, but also Frameless is exciting because they're inviting new audiences in, where they're making space for people who may have kind of neurodiverse, or have like physical accessibility needs. And I think that's kind of what makes them more exciting. When I was researching them, I think that was the thing that to me made them stick out. It wasn't because they were necessarily just showing art on beautiful screens. It was also because their ethos from the beginning was trying to sell this different story and trying to approach it differently. So I think this kind of idea of collaboration from the start is something I've been learning about.
And it's often been brought by our guests, this reminder of there's no real step-by-step guide, and then there's no shame in taking the time that it's needed and evaluating your real needs. Museums are very different, and coming from their own space is what makes them unique. I want to ask how you see museums evolving, and do you think they will connect more with technology towards the diverse communities that they might reach out to?
Yeah, something that we are seeing, and I think it's something that I think has already proven to be quite powerful, is this concept of collaboration and kind of co-curation and things like that. I think it's a really powerful way to make heritage feel like it belongs to people. And I think, again, using these tools that we have in a quite a simple way, it allows further spread communities to engage with each other, to all kind of come together under a project that they can all be part of, as opposed to it just maybe showing the polished final outcome.
Thank you for that. And so to close our conversation, I would like to ask you two questions that we often ask to our guests. The first one, can you tell us a song to listen at a museum?
Wow, okay. I will answer with my own answer at the end, but I think that's a really lovely thing to think about. And I think I was reading somewhere recently about how we can use artworks and things in museums to really like ground ourselves, and especially in this day and age where we're always so hectic, we're always in a rush, everyone's kind of beck and call with our phones and everything, that especially looking at art and being in a museum, if we can afford to be there, is such a valuable thing, and we can really like connect with our senses by looking at an artwork. So I think that question is really interesting, because if you add a more like audible version as well into it, we think of it as being very visual. I think for me, it would have to be something classical. But then I'm thinking of a classical museum, I suppose, when I think of that. But I think something that fits how I want to feel as I'm looking at the artwork. So I think for me, that's quite peaceful, because I think I view being able to look at these pieces, I want to be quite mindful and peaceful. So I think I'd have to choose something quite classical, maybe like Bach or something like that.
Fair enough. There's no good or bad answer. This one is really just abstract than it's for people to also, to, as you were saying, have more senses activated when in museums, because it will probably enhance their experience. The second one, do you have any recommendations for people to further their thoughts on museums digitalization or museums and accessibility?
Yes, I think digital and museums, there's a lot of really good, very accessible pieces often posted by Museum Association. I think that it comes to mind just because, as I said, it's often more shorter snippets of bits of larger information. And I think especially it's such a massive topic that is kind of ever evolving. It's often, I find it a really nice way just to keep one toe in the dipped in, so to speak. So I think, yeah, a lot of the time, anything posted on Museum Association is quite interesting, and it often has references to larger, more academic pieces. I was literally reading yesterday, he's called Ashman, basically interesting piece out from this year to do with kind of the shortcomings of some of the digital tools for a museum. So, and that's just a short snippet of like his larger work. So yeah, I think that for maybe the more digital side. And in terms of accessibility, I think when I was doing a lot of my work last year at the Lyme Museum, I would often actually try and ground my understanding of key accessibility points outside of like heritage practices. I find there's obviously there is a need to link them more, but I found actually seeking kind of that grounding understanding outside of the heritage space was actually more useful for me. I think because a lot of works tend to be quite biased still in the museum's world, I will say, where it's not necessarily a right or wrong situation all the time, as we were saying earlier. A lot of the time, projects, for example, are specifically designed or need adapting or whatnot. So I think in terms of accessibility, looking at kind of traditional places, online would be a good start. And especially it depends if we're talking about like digital accessibility, just a lot of the guidelines online, they're ever changing. So I feel like there's always something new.
No, but you're right. Maybe you just have to go to the general standard ones that are updated and get more information of what the experts are saying, possibly. Thank you for sharing your experience and sharing your insights with us. We have come to the end of our episode. So for everyone listening, don't forget that the ICOM General Conference is just around the corner. And whether you'll be joining us in person or online, this will be a great opportunity to engage with the future of our field, especially how youth voices, digital technologies, and inclusive practices are shaping what museums will be tomorrow. We hope this conversation has inspired you to think differently about accessibility, technology, and community in cultural spaces. Until next time, and thank you for tuning in to Museums and Chill. We look forward to seeing you at the conference, whether it's online or in person.